You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In Venda Levita's third novel, The Lovers, a widowed high school teacher travels to the Turkish town where she honeymooned 28 years before in an attempt to recapture her sense of self. Josh Emmons in the New York Times Book Review called it an engrossing exploration of marriage, parenthood, and the accidents that can end and reconfigure lives. It's published by Echo, and I'm very pleased that it brings Venda Levita back to our show today. Hello.
Hello. It's nice to be here again. Thank you.
All of your novels so far have involved women traveling to faraway places after traumatic events. In the first one, And Now You Can Go, a grad student goes to the Philippines after being held at gunpoint. In the second, Let the Northern Lights Erase Your Name, a woman travels to Lapland after her father dies. Do you see the three of them as a trilogy?
I do see them as a trilogy. Actually, that's something I said kind of offhandedly after I finished the first book, And Now You Can Go. And I had that feeling I think a lot of writers experience after they've finished a book, and they think, I didn't get everything I wanted to get into this one novel. So maybe if I call it a trilogy, I'll have two more chances. So that's what I kind of envisioned the three as a trilogy.
But you didn't return to the same characters.
I didn't return now the same. It's very
or the
loose,
same countries.
Same countries. No, it's a very loose trilogy. Of course, that put a lot of pressure on me for the third book to kind of finish the trilogy, so to speak, and get everything in that I wanted to. But it's also a great excuse to get to travel to different places.
Is that why travel has become such an important theme in your work?
I think I've always loved travel, and I've always loved stories about people who aren't in their everyday environment. I think that lends a lot of drama and a lot of possibility to the storyline.
Well, people often think that if they go to another place, they can change things. And, of course, they remain who they are.
Right. And I think they actually can – it's only in other places that you can really see who you are at home with a lot more clarity. I think that's what happens to all three of my protagonists in the three novels.
In this novel, Yvonne, who's a high school history teacher from Burlington, Vermont, has returned to the town of Datça, Turkey, 2 years after her husband's untimely death. Is Datça a popular honeymoon destination?
Datça is not a popular honeymoon destination, nor is it a popular tourist destination at all.
Although it's beautifully situated,
it's beautifully situated
the Aegean and the Mediterranean.
It is, but that's not a popular town. In fact, I had a couple of Turkish people at my book reading in Portland recently who said, why Datça? Why in the world would you set a book in Datça? And I have to say it happened by accident. I was finishing Let the Northern Lights Erase Your Name in 2005, and I wanted to just go away someplace and be isolated and not, you know, be far away from day-to-day distractions. So I typed in four words into a search engine. I typed in Turkey, beach, cheap rental. And the first house that popped up also happened to be the only one available. And it was in this town of Datça that looked very appealing, as you said, on the map. But when we got there, you could see that it definitely was showing signs of decay.
And that's something you write about here. It looks worse on her return than it did when she was there on her honeymoon. I'm not sure whether the town is deteriorated or whether on our honeymoon we see things in a slightly rosier light.
I think it's both. In fact, I actually really appreciated Datça the first time I was there in 2005 and really liked its old world European charm. And when I hadn't planned on writing about Turkey, so of course that made for an interesting predicament when I finally decided, when this town kept presenting itself in its mind when I was writing this novel, and I knew I was going to set it there. So I went back again in 2007, and I couldn't believe how much the town had deteriorated and changed, even in those intervening 2 years. So I thought, what kind of person would come back to a place they had once visited and be disappointed to find that it was not as it once was? And I came, in that kind of dichotomy, I came up with the idea of creating this character who is a widow who's returning to the place where she honeymooned.
Well, some people might see returning to the scene of your honeymoon as masochistic, since it was a place where she and her husband had spent their happiest moments.
Right. Well, I think she's trying to figure out. She's recently begun to realize that her marriage might not have been everything that she thought it was. And she's going back to the place where it started to kind of better understand how it unraveled.
What got you thinking about the experience of widowhood and also about writing about a woman older than yourself in this case at 53?
I'm 38. I've always written about women who are about 8 to 10 years younger than myself. And to be honest, I was just sick of it. I wanted to challenge myself and write about someone older. And I also wanted to write in the third person, which I hadn't done before in fiction. And I became interested in widowhood when I was talking to some friends of mine whose mothers had recently lost their husbands. And they all said the same thing. They all said it was at the two-year mark after their husbands had passed away that they really, really started grieving in full. And that was also at the point, the two-year mark was also the time when everyone around them expected them to have gotten over their husband's death and to move on. So it was a really difficult time for them.
But sometimes it takes about 2 years to get everything in order.
Right.
And now suddenly you're faced with the fact that there is nothing more to be done.
Exactly.
To clean up the past.
Exactly.
You suggested that every novel becomes, you challenge yourself.
I try to just try to make it interesting for myself. The next novel I'm writing, I'm going to write from many different points of view because I haven't done that before. Mm-hmm. I think you have to keep yourself on your toes a little bit because no one else is going to.
Yvonne has rented a house in Dacha for 9 days before she is going to join her grown children on a cruise. And she has planned to spend this time alone. But after she moves in, she finds out that the owner and his estranged wife keep dropping in to visit. Is this because in Turkish culture, a woman traveling alone is presumed to be lonely?
I don't know if that's so much it. I wasn't thinking exactly why they were dropping in. The house in Dacha where she stays is based on the house that my husband and I ended up renting, which was a very odd house. The owners of the house had not put away everything that you might expect people would put away before renters moved in. And we every day
like
we just,
what?
Like sex swings and nude photos. And every time we looked behind a television or in a closet, we found something that surprised us. And it was definitely made me curious about the owners of the house who I'd never met before. And it also made for a very strange rental experience.
So you were learning more about these people than you might have wanted to. And in this case, you have these people come in and tell you all these things about their marriage.
Exactly.
People sometimes do find it easier to confide in strangers, especially ones they know they're never going to see again.
I think that's true. I think that's why I enjoy traveling, too, just meeting people who tell stories that I know nobody I knew in San Francisco would ever tell me.
And there's a lot of storytelling in this, I guess, because you're a storyteller. Yvonne finds that she enjoys being able to tell her version of her marriage to them and to other people she meets because her husband isn't there.
Her husband isn't there.
To provide his side of the story.
And he, when they were married, there's a line about how his role was the storyteller, the kind of the historian of their marriage. And so he was always telling his version of their marriage. And she kind of values the opportunity to get to tell their story herself.
This is something that often happens with couples. They'll start talking about something that occurred to they both experienced, and one will say, no. You went into that room first.
Right. If you have no one to interrupt you, it must be very liberating.
The novel alternates the real-time events of Yvonne's trip with her recollections of her marriage, how she met her husband, the years of the marriage and child-rearing, and the horrific accident that ended his life. Is she, in a way, rewriting the story of her marriage or just trying to understand it more clearly?
I think both, but I think ultimately she is rewriting the story of her marriage.
And whether it was a happy marriage.
Right. And I think when I started off the book, I began the book with the intention of writing about a happy marriage. And as I moved along, I realized that, in fact, she had not had a happy marriage.
She befriends a young boy who's selling shells on the beach who reminds her of her own son when he was young. Would you read a little bit about that?
Sure. I'm going to start with a scene, with a paragraph. When she's coming out of the water, she's gone to Knidos, which is a neighboring town to Dacha, and which is almost the opposite of Dacha. It's very luxurious and beautiful, and it's where a lot of the yachting community comes to stay for a night. And she goes out for a swim, and I'll start here. The water was murkier close to the beach, and Yvonne put her feet down to feel if it was shallow enough to stand. She almost scraped her knee on the rocks below. She staggered out of the water, trying to navigate the uneven surface between the weeds and, inexplicably, pieces of floating wood. Her body was cold as she emerged, but the warm air quickly blanketed her. On the beach, a boy of about 10 was laying something out on the sand. Boys the world over had the same body, she thought, narrow chest with protruding ribs and tiny paunches. He resembled Matthew, her son, at that age. Yvonne walked past the boy and saw he was organizing a collection of shells. He was setting them out with great care, the way a society hostess might arrange saucers and cups for a tea. "What beautiful shells," she said, pausing in front of them. For a moment, she had forgotten she was in Turkey. The boy turned to her. He had wide pink lips and a straight nose and eyes that were moist and dark, as though he had recently teared. Yvonne pointed to the shells and smiled, and he surprised her by not smiling back. She had had students like this boy, students who didn't immediately respond to her. It was the reluctant ones whose respect or attention she most pointedly sought. She picked up a shell before noticing it was chipped on its side. "Nice," she said, and smiled. The boy said something and shook his head. He stood and pointed to the chip. "Oh, I see," she said, holding it in her hand and pretending she hadn't already noticed it. The boy said something else. She was ashamed she hadn't learned any Turkish before arriving here. She and Peter used to study the basics before visiting any country. "Hello, thank you, excuse me, where is the..." "Pardon," Yvonne said. The boy held up his fingers, too. Of course, he was selling his shells. The elaborate layout on the beach was his shorefront display. Yvonne tapped the sides of her hips, her hands grazing the edges of her swimsuit, as though to show she didn't have any money on her. The boy stared. "I'm an idiot," she thought. She felt the boy with his dark eyes must think so, too. She pointed to her towel on the beach, her small bag, and started walking toward them. She realized she had left her belongings, her car keys, her money, on the beach while she had been on the boat. She sprinted toward her possessions as though hustling now could prevent any theft from having taken place in the past hour. Everything was where she had left it. She turned to the boy and smiled at him, for she felt he was somehow responsible. He had not taken any of her possessions, nor had he let anyone else take them. She removed a 5-lira note from her bag and handed it to him. Now it was his turn to pat his hips. Was he mocking her? He signaled to her to follow him back to the display of shells and began to speak Turkish again, as though if he continued speaking, she might absorb his language during the very time he was talking to her. I'll stop there.
Venda Levita reading from her new novel, The Lovers, which is published by Echo. She finds that everyone is selling something, even when she thinks they're offering something to her out of friendship. The title, The Lovers, recalls Margaret Duras' novel, The Lover, which Yvonne happens to be reading on her trip. That's about a teenage girl who has an affair with an older man in what was then called Indochina. Why did you want to bring that book into the story?
I was rereading The Lover when I was starting this book, and I was very interested just in the very first paragraph, that it's about a woman looking back on her life and on her relationships. And I've always admired that book. I've always had some questions about it. For example, why Marguerite Duras alternates between the first and third person. But I also really love the tone of it. And eventually, the book just in my mind became called The Lovers, and I couldn't change it. Somehow you become attached to a title sometimes, and even certain phrases and words echo the title without you even intending to do so. And so I felt like The Lovers was an interesting title to me because Yvonne is not one of the lovers. She meets lovers everywhere she goes. She sees lovers and pairings of people. She even has twins. And I think that the word the lovers can be a really romantic word unless you are not included.
It's a lot shorter than your previous titles as well.
Yes, I think. Yeah, my last title, "Let the Northern Lights Erase Your Name." Yes, that was a mouthful. I realized I ended up calling that book "Northern Lights" a lot more when I'm just referencing it to other people. So I thought maybe this time I'll just start with a shorter title.
You collaborated with your husband Dave Eggers on the screenplay for Sam Mendes' movie "Away We Go." Mm-hmm. Their plans to turn this or any of your other novels into films?
I'm currently trying to write the script for "Let the Northern Lights Erase Your Name," which probably, if it becomes a film ever, will have a shorter title.
And you would want to write the screenplay? Because some writers want to sell the rights to somebody else and say, do what you will with it. Others really can't bear the thought that somebody's going to mess with their story.
Well, I think enough time has passed now, several years since that book was published, and I don't feel as attached to certain phrases as I did when I had first written the book. I think if I try to write the script right after the book was published, I would have been attached to descriptions of this, if, you know, the snow, and I wouldn't have wanted to cut anything. It would have been a 10-hour film. So, mm-hmm. But now I think I have a little more distance.
Are you still editing The Believer?
I am, yes.
Do you want to give us a plug for your nonprofit, 826 Valencia?
826 Valencia is a nonprofit that helps students ages 8 to 18 with their writing, and it's all free, and it's all based on the help of volunteers. We have a location in Brooklyn as well as in San Francisco and in several other cities across the country. Is that
the one in Brooklyn is the one in Park Slope?
Yes,
where they sell superpowers?
Superhero supplies. Mm. And maybe superpowers too, yes.
Well, they are powers. Yeah, powders and stuff.
That are powers. That,
yeah, they
yes.
give you the powers.
Yes.
I went in once trying to buy something that would allow me to fly, and then I discovered it was all a scam.
It didn't work.
Wendell Avita's latest novel is The Lovers. It is published by Echo. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you.